out there. Welcome to the show. It is Wednesday. Oh, my word. This month is going by so fast. And tonight, we're going to play a little game I like to call Truth and Story. Play Truth and Story. I am so broke. Sounds like a great story, but it's not the truth. Nobody loves me. Great story, but not the truth. I don't have anywhere to go. Great story, again, not the truth. When we play truth and story, we can change two things. We change not only how we see the world and how we see ourselves in the world, it's available to us what's possible, but we also then consequently change our reality. Your reality is your reality because that's the way you see reality. That's the truth. It is not any more complicated than that. It truly is that simple. Reality is what reality is because that's what you believe reality is. I heard someone say the other day, people who are unable to communicate see life as an attack. Who lack self-awareness and accountability think everything is an attack. So if you have been accused of, if you notice that you are arguing, that what people say to you is an argument, you may want to consider the fact that your communication skills are insecure. Your reality is what your reality is because this is what you've decided reality is. There is no the reality. So playing truth and story can break that down for us. I'm always misunderstood. People don't understand me. It's a great story. Truth is, I over-explain myself. I'm not okay with who I am. I am often or always misunderstood is the story. Truth is, I over-explain myself because I'm not okay with who I am. Everything that's an argument, anything that is resistance, when we feel like we're under attack, arguing with us, it's because we're holding a really strong line. A really long storyline. Now, we don't make these stories up because we're idiots. We don't make stories up based on paranoia or misled, quote-unquote, reality. We've come to these conclusions about what's real, what's possible, what is, because of our conclusions that we've made in our experiences. There's a little boy shoveling manure in a big barn. Somebody walks in and he says, "Oh, man, look at all this work I have to do. There's horse manure everywhere, and I got to clean this up." Another little boy is cleaning out that same barn, and someone walks in and is surprised about his enthusiasm, and they ask him why he's so excited, and he says, "Well, with all this manure in here, there's got to be a horse somewhere, and I'm going to find it." A reality is a reality because of the way we've decided our reality is. Our value, our purpose, the truth about who we are, our belief about what life is, about what life does or doesn't do for us and with us. So play truth and story. Check out your wording. I call people out on it all the time. Not because I'm calling people out and it makes me sound wise or smart, but because it matters. It matters. Always remember there are two types of people in this world. People that believe life happens to them. You're just victims in this world. Life is going to be what life is going to be. You can hear it in the caller. You can hear people say, "What's going to happen? When is this going to become for me?" And what do I say? I'm seeing for them what's in your way. Psychic is not about telling you what is going to happen to you. Psychic is about, although sometimes it is, sometimes it really is written. And that comes up when we have permission to intervene or interrupt. Some things in life just are, but not the majority. The majority is created. Play is playing because of the script that you write every day, every day, every day. What words are you thinking? What words are you using? What words are you saying? What core beliefs are you still playing out, for fuck's sake? I'm still playing out a core belief that I don't belong, that I don't have a right to be here, that I have no right to have a home or a family, and that I have to beg for just the possibility of a crumb of love, and that love isn't even authentic. Bullshit that comes along with a false hope and manipulation. I'm playing that out to this day. Some of the shit that we carry, you guys, our lifetime attending, some of the shit that we are in takes a lifetime to get through. And the way that I'm getting through that story is to not only know the truth, but to be really, really, really freaking aware of how I sabotage the truth. Of course, I have a home, have a right to a home, have a right to safety, have a right to love. Love is not unavailable to me or unfelt by me because it's not there. It's because I resist it. Because if I would feel authentic love, I wouldn't know what the fuck to do with it. It makes me squirrely. My visceral body gets sweaty, contracts, freaks out level of closeness. So I'll ruin it. Anytime I feel close, I ruin it. And the way to interrupt that flow, the way to interrupt that story's flow is for me to be in conscious awareness and go, oh, yeah. I just had this incredibly awesome weekend. I feel really close to these people over here. I feel really close to that person over there. And now I notice that I want to change how and where I live. Yeah, I don't want to keep doing this activity. And I'm looking for reasons why not to participate. Purely because feeling close meant I was going to be conned, manipulated, molested, abused. Now, I know that that is not always the case. And I know that I am wise enough to break this shit up. And I watch it happen. And I also know that the truth is that I'm on top of it. And I can stop the sabotage. I slow my ass down to notice the sabotage. Tick, 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 tick. In my brain, in my actions, in my words, and I do my darndest to catch it before I do ruin it. And if I do ruin it, try to get it back. So this is where the work happens. And psychically and intuitively, I can see the piece go along those lines. I can see the truth for people. Not only because I hear it in their words, but also because Spirit's showing me. Your guides are pointing it out. They point it out to you too, but we're not always able to see it for ourselves. So, powered clairvoyance. I don't care. But truth is, this is the kind of shit that counts. And what I want you to do is play truth and story. Now, the next time we get together is Friday morning. And Friday morning, I've already decided, where's my calendar? I'm going to write it down so I don't forget. Friday morning, I've already decided that I'm going to do a live Rings of Light meditation. So that means I want you to be on board within those first few minutes of the show on Friday so that you can get into a place of comfort and you can be guided in that meditation that I'm going to do. Following the meditation, because it'll take about 20 minutes or so, I want to then take calls, your experience, or answer any questions, concerns, curiosities, or complaints about the Rings of Light or anything else that's going on with you. So that is on Friday on the 29th, and I'm going to change that topic right now. So it's a guided Rings of Light meditation. Pretty sure there's one of those on my website, too. I'm going to give us a little bit more time. I'm going to say 90 minutes if we get carried away. Sound good? Sound good. Standard time. Save that episode. All right, let's get back to studio. All right, so in the meantime of Friday or next time we meet, maybe it'll be Monday, practice the story that I've been talking about. All right. One of the a piece that you can use as a little bit of your fire energy when it comes to truth and story, because when you play truth and story, you've got to break down your belief system, although I'm much better at, you can only pick just one. You can only be one really cool person. You can only take one part of a professional practice. Pick one. Don't do the spoken word. You can do Grandma B. You can be empowerment, clairvoyance, but you can't do all three. And I've been arguing about that for years. You can only have one piece of candy. Fuck that shit. Grab a handful, goddammit. Of course, be conscious that there's other people waiting in line for trick-or-treating, but you get the gist. So when you play truth or story, pull up your fire breath. And one of the practices for using a fire breath is on a video in my library. If you go to ReneeBeezy60s.com or go to HealingOnWheels.com, put in the search bar fire, and fire breath will come up on a video. And when you are flipping your script or you are redesigning your beliefs according to what you're buying into, what your truth is, when you're reestablishing your truth belief, that fire breath can really move some of that uncomfortable energy, and it can move residue, any anger, resentment, sadness, fear about some of those beliefs that we've been taught. Some of that stuff gets in there really, really deep, and it can be a bit uncomfortable. So fire breath along with playing truth or story. So that is what I have in encouragement for you this evening. And let's go to the phone lines and see what's going on. Hello. Tell me how. Oh, there we go. Hello, darling.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
What's your name?
Nan.
Nan, tell me how the topic of truth and story hits you. Like, are you aware of that? You know that we tell a whole bunch of stories and lies, and we got to kind of get our truth back. What does that mean to you?
I think I do that all the time. Like, I think everybody does. Like, you justify behavior and, oh, I can't, you know, keep telling yourself you can't do that or you can't, you have to do this. Yeah, I think there's a lot to that.
Yeah. I was reminded recently, too, of, when we're in these moments where we're going to really change something significant in our life, like our story, like a longstanding story, like a drama story, or, you know, we're attached to trauma history and we don't realize it. But in those moments, we decide which we are more fearful of, right? Like, am I more afraid to stay in the familiar, even though it's awful and I hate it? Or am I more afraid to do something that I'm not familiar with? Like, something as simple as dieting. Like, I haven't had sugar in 3 weeks, but now I really want that cookie. You know, like, am I more afraid of going back to what I'm used to? You know, a sugar addiction or out-of-control eating or whatever. Or am I more afraid of doing something new where I feel exposed because now my body's smaller? I feel uncomfortable because now I'm dealing with that I haven't wanted to look at, and that's what I've been bearing with my food. So I love that little play with those two fears, very similar to truth and story.
Oh, that's really interesting. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. And then we can decide.
I think when you're under a lot of stress, too, and that comes with change, your mind just starts creating stories automatically.
Our ego.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I think for everybody, I remember one of my teachers saying, remember, when you are in these spiritual courses and you are in these intensive weekends, remember that your ego is learning this, too.
Ah.
As much as you are diving deep into how to claim your authentic self, your ego is sitting there too going, oh, I could use that on her. Keep us a mess. I could use that. You know. So our ego is very, very crafty because our ego doesn't want anything to change. And it keeps us in the story.
Oh, interesting. Why do you think the ego doesn't want you to change?
Well, I love a class that I do called The Walking Ego. And The Walking Ego, we talk about the four parts of who we are. So we are ego, we are child, we are the I am self or the God self, and a why self. And so when you become aware of who's on top, then you can make sure your I am self or your why self is the one that's making those decisions, meandering in that complex life experience. Our ego is our simple mind. Our ego is like, it's like a child, except it doesn't have emotions. It just has an agenda to be right and don't change anything. And it doesn't want anything to change because it cannot think complex thoughts. So it freaks out and it goes, no. This is what I do know. Don't change it. And so when your simple mind is on top, it's your ego and it has to be right and it doesn't want to change. Now the ego does have a purpose. The only purpose. Yeah, go ahead, sweetie. I'm sorry, what?
No, I'm just thinking that's why people don't change jobs when they're miserable or get out of relationships.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, that's exactly, you're exactly right. They don't change it because they don't realize that it's their ego that's in charge. And their ego is not wise. Their ego is not the I am almighty. I can see all things. And so then their life stays the same and it rotates and rotates and rotates.
Wow. Cool.
Isn't it?
Cool thought. Yeah.
That's super cool.
Very cool.
Yeah. So did you have a question for me or what's going on with you tonight that you would like to get something
wiggled
out
with? I was just listening, but that was interesting because I haven't, you know, it's really interesting too because, you know, I've always heard too that, you know, when people move, they're looking for a change, but they move, 200 miles or 500 miles or 800 miles, and then after the initial shock of the move wears up, they end up right back in the same place they were. Essentially, doing the same thing. So that's an interesting
exactly
thought,
right.
too.
Yeah, and that's that point. Like, even though we're not, see, this is the cool thing. It's like, just because you're not aware that it's happening doesn't mean that it's not happening. Everybody's making these decisions about the fear or the fear. It's like, okay, so this is freaking me out. It's new. It's different. I'm unsure. I'm scared, but am I more afraid to go back to what I was doing before, or am I more afraid to take on this newness? And everybody's making those decisions all the time. It's just that some people are aware that they're doing it and some people are not. And the way to really trip out of these really deep-seated drama-trauma stories, we're aware that, I'm in this moment. I'm actually sliding backwards because I'm scared. Okay, sweetie, listen. Go to the newness, you know. Stay in the newness.
Right.
Take on the fear of the unknown. You have to really, slow things down. Be conscious. This is what meditation is for. We don't meditate to be holy. We meditate so we don't fuck up our lives more. Right? We meditate so that we can stay awake. Kind of weird, like you meditate and go into OM, but we do it so we can stay awake.
That's interesting too. Huh. So do you, I mean, so how do you change? I mean, do you see any steps that I can make for positive changes in my life?
Well, I would say Oh, you mean you want to, like, intuitive get stuff? You want some cards drawn?
No,
you want something specific for you? Or just generally?
Either way. Just generally.
Yeah.
I was thinking generally at this point.
Right. Yeah, I think the one thing that I just have just sunk deeply into probably the last 15 years is keep going up. Because that is the place where if you just don't give up, you're going to slide backwards. You're going to find yourself in a mess. There's this place where you just have to keep getting up, keep getting up, keep getting up, keep getting up, keep showing up. Because then there's these miraculous moments where all of a sudden that thing that's been driving you nuts for 12 years, and you're like, man, I keep working on this. Man, I keep working on this. Boom, all of a sudden it shifts. And you're in this moment going, whoa, like the earth literally moves underneath you. And we get those moments because we keep showing up. And the grace and the compassion that it requires is a commitment. And it's a dedication. Like, I will not stop. Staying on course for me to finally one day feel comfortable feeling love. And that's where I'm at right now. That's why I was sharing that earlier. It's like, damn, you know, I'm so aware that I'm still terrified to feel love. That I run and jump and I run and jump and I run and jump and I help and I help and I help and I help and I help. I don't rescue people anymore. That's different. So that level of distracting myself from that terror by rescuing other people, that's gone. I don't rescue anymore. But I'm still doing the help, help, give, give, help, help, give, give. Because in that, I actually get to feel us going in my direction. And that is not because of anybody else. That is purely 100% because I've designed it that way. And I've designed it that way because then I'm in control. I've designed it that way because then my terror, that risk of all of the things that, the reasons why I've made that like really, really deep rooted conclusion, that, oh, no, 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 nobody gets close here. Because if anybody gets used, manipulated, molested, and abused. And so what I've designed is, again, I don't, that level of rescue is gone. But I'm still will not. And I can say those words with strong conviction, like at the core of my being. It's like I'm proud of it. Like, I will not let anyone get close. But I get satisfaction of care, energy, by being so caring and giving with others. So, So my commitment for myself is to just, I'm not giving it. I am not going to give up. I'm going to keep showing up, keep showing up, keep showing up. And I'm going to stay aware. And I'm going to be consistent with my meditative practice. And I'm going to slow my life down so that I don't distract myself from these things that are important to me. Like, I will find a way. I am open to receive, and I will find a way. Feeding authentic care will feel viscerally comfortable for me.
Oh, oh gotcha.
So this piece of showing up and the grace in that, the kindness that I give to myself, that I can talk this comfortably about it, even though it's like this really big issue, you know, and I don't feel exposed. I don't feel uncomfortable. I don't feel, I mean, I feel those things, but I'm okay with it. I'm okay with feeling fragile about this being such a big deal. But I'm okay with it because I hold myself kindness and grace and compassion in the process of showing up.
Okay. I like that. That's good.
Nice.
I do like that.
Nice.
Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense in terms of, how do I put it, interacting responsibly. That's not a good way to put it, but.
No.
But with boundaries.
No, I totally get what you're saying. If you take the word responsible and you look at the word bondable, you are able to respond.
Able to respond.
Amen, right? So that feels like what you just said, like my ability to interact, my ability to respond, take responsibility for. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, this has been deep.
I love it. This is my, like, this is my zone, baby. Sounds like it's yours as well. Like, you really naturally enjoy deeper conversation and awareness.
Well, I try, but I think I've hit a spot of superficiality that's been killing me for years, but I'm getting through, so it's all good.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying I have made some changes recently and you know, tried to eliminate some of the more stressful situations from my life, so that's been interesting. But,
I want to push you a little bit further because it feels like the pieces that you've changed take the edge off, but they don't make real change. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree with you.
Push yourself further. You deserve to go beyond this that you see, and make the changes that are really uncomfortable, and then get comfortable being uncomfortable. That's a place of mastery, being comfortable in the uncomfortable and being friendly with your fragility and feeling, grace in feeling exposed. When you can get those things down, then it's much easier. Those things need to be, you know, practiced in order to make those big changes, because otherwise you crumble right away because it feels like, oh, shit. You know, this is too much, but it really going at it.
Okay. Well, I can put an effort in.
Yeah. Oh, come on, man. That sounded so lame.
Is lame. I'll try. No, what is it? There is no try. Do or do not.
Yeah,
there
yeah,
is no
yeah,
try.
Yeah. That sounds like your ego getting philosophical. Yeah, do it. You are smart enough and wise enough to see where you are just taking the edge off and the places where you need to make real change to make a real effective difference in the ways that you truly crave.
Yeah. I mean, I have to say that I'm kind of regretting turning down this one job offer I had. But on the other hand, I didn't feel it was really good. So.
Yep.
So I'm resting right now where I am, essentially.
Yeah. But there's other things too. I mean, you and I talked about a lot. It feels like we've stirred the pot. Kind of sit with all of this and then give me a call another time and let's see where you're at.
You're cracking me up. I'd be up for that. I called in just tonight to listen because I enjoy it, but let's all do more and then I'll let you know.
Do it. All right, sweetie. Good talking with you. Bye for now.
Good talking with you. Bye.
Okay. 780, what's going on with you tonight? Were you on board when we were talking about the topic?
Yes, it's Jay Cole from Canada. What is the topic for tonight? I'm just started the show, sorry.
Oh, no, that's fine. We were talking about truth or story, playing truth or story with yourself. Like, and you can go back and listen to the beginning of the show and the archives, too, to get a deeper impact from it. But, you know, we all have these phrases that we say and these things that we believe, and most of them are just stories. But I'm challenging people to get into the truth. So, like, I'm so poor, you know. Is that really true? You know, nobody ever understands me. It's a great story, but the truth is I over-explain myself because I'm not comfortable with who I am. So playing truth or story is like noticing, paying attention to what you're saying. What are you putting out there? What are you thinking? And then challenging yourself to go, is that really true? Or is that just a story that keeps me comfortable in my misery?
You know, that's interesting you say that because I'm talking to a lot of people about preparations right now. And it's interesting what they'd say without actually even thinking about, you know, like what, can I, not why they're saying it, but they're just playing it off. So let's say, for example, I said, do you have enough food for 1 year or something like that, or 6 months? And they would respond back, oh, yeah, I've got a freezer full of food. And just leave it go like that. Okay. And I always talk to people like, hey, you know what, we get enough food to last you 3 months. Oh, we got this big garden in front of us. Okay. And it's almost like they kind of like downplay that they don't have probably enough food to last them 3 months. They're just downplaying that. They just see that this garden that they have is going to supply them with food for 3 months. Probably not, but they're just telling themselves lies, or, you know, everything's going to get better. And another one is like, everything will be all right. That's a big one.
Yeah.
And I find that it just kind of like alleviates the reality of what is going on, I think, too. We don't actually tell or truth.
Yeah.
Say, yeah, this is what's really going on, and you're saying that you do, but it isn't really. So why are you saying that? Is it because you want to feel good? You don't want to hear bad stories? You're not in touch with reality? Or yeah, I kind of hear that all the time.
I think those are really good words to use. Like, I love to use the word truth. Is that true? And I also like to use the word, are those your words? Are those your words? Is that something you really believe? Or is that something you heard that is just being repeated? Like, really helping people to claim their reality. I really didn't think it through. You know, most of us just keep repeating the same things that we've rotated in our mind, same 60,000 words every single day. Same. And to interrupt that and to ask that word truth, is that the truth? Are you really poor? Well, I don't have anywhere to live. Well, where did you sleep last night? Well, in my apartment. Well, is that the truth? Then you don't have, well, I don't know where I'm going to go at the end of the month. Okay, well, then those are two different statements. What you said is, I don't have anywhere to live. Is that truth? Well, no, not really. Well, then no, it's not the truth. It's a story. And once we wake up to the story, then we can find out what's actually motivating that fear. Oh, well, when I was a kid, I was a single mom. And when I was a kid, my mom was always, like, crying and talking to her friends about, you know, we're not going to have a place to live at the end of the month. Oh, okay, well, then let's, you know, get into that a little bit so that you could claim a different reality and find your truth, interrupt the story so that you can make a different reality. You can claim your truth rather than playing out a story that's just repeated information that probably didn't even come from you in the first place. You know, so.
I get to wonder, you know, that I think one of the reasons, like I wonder, one of the reasons why we came down onto this earth plane at this moment in time with all the stuff that's going on and things that it was basically a test to see if we, what we learned in maybe a past lives, all the past lives and all our wisdom and our knowledge from, you know, from souls gone before, is did we actually learn anything from those past lives, or we can continue on the story of deceitfulness, you know, just things that we haven't learned, you know, we didn't, you know, this is the, probably the best. I'm just wondering now too, it's like, okay, why are we on this plane right now? Are all the humans on the being supposed to be learning this lesson of truth? You know, gut feeling, you know, work on your instinct with that versus, you know, you know, being led, you know, like sheeple. So
I've wondered sometimes over the years if this is a place, the only place in the vastness of whatever everything is, if this is the only place that has emotions and ego thoughts. And that the challenge is to return to our holy selves, to be our holy selves while having an ego and having feelings. Which was really hard to do. Really hard to do. And then I've wondered too, I don't know how it came to me, but something about, oh, I know what it was. It was like, people I was around at the time were like obsessed with like praying and meditating for peace and praying and meditating for peace and no more war and no more war. And all of a sudden it just came to me. I went, but what if this is the only plane that has war? And we're here to experience war as a soul, as a fractal light of consciousness or of God. That what if this is the only place that has war and we're here to experience that particular thing? Well, then why are you trying to make it go away? Why have you judged it and decided that it's a horrible thing?
It's interesting. That's interesting you say that.
Yeah. Because without the judgment, without our expectation of what life is supposed to be, what we're supposed to be in it, and what it should be, and what life should be doing, which is all just projected ideas. It's just our simple-minded idea of the way life should be. And then I think, well, who the hell am I? I'm just a stupid human being in this mind, you know. I'm also, you know, God. I'm also a wise person. But really, my ideas of what this is? Okay. What do I know?
Yeah. I find that the more I speak to people, there's a certain percentage that are kind of like waking up with awakened, and some are still woke. It's still a very low percentage. I'm really surprised about that with all that's going on.
Did you ever hear about that? I know that is very interesting too, me too as well. Did you ever hear, I hear about that back in the 70s, I think. I don't know who it was. So I'm not even going to guess at the name. But they were trying to show that purely by meditating, you can change an entire city. And I believe it was in Washington, D.C.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
I think it was 30 days.
Yeah, so it was actually a transcendental meditation, and they prayed peace.
Yep.
And they shifted the crime rate thing down, went lower because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was by a significant amount, if I remember it correctly.
And that experiment has been done many times with the same result.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's interesting to me is like the percentages. And what I got from that is the percentages. And
it tells you the power. Okay, so I think I know where you're going with this, is that it tells you the power of the human being, spirit, when they focus on something that is love and peace. It's like square root of 1% of the population of that environment. So there's not very many people.
Yep. It only needed a tiny amount to affect a large amount. And that completely changed any thoughts or ideas, especially, I would say, back in the 90s, maybe in the 80s. A lot of people would use phrases like, well, they're just not there yet. And I thought, boy, it's always bothered me when I heard things like that. But this is one of those things that helped me get really clear about when I would hear phrases like that, because that to me is spiritual arrogance. As if you think or you know that that person should be in a different place. Who are you to say that this person hasn't evolved yet? You know what I mean? Like, well, who says they're supposed to, or that they have to, or that they've missed something if they're not? What if a whole bunch of people are just here to have purely a physical experience? I don't know how to do that. That's not what I'm here for. But to say that someone should, they're not there yet. They're not evolved yet. Well, but maybe they don't have to. And I like those experiments or those practices that have kind of proven that. We don't need everybody on board, you know, to affect change if that's, in fact, something that we should even be doing.
Most people, I think, the difference in what you're talking about, affecting change with that experiment they did, even with the Suez Canal, it's the same type of experiment they did, and they changed the direction of that war that was actually going on, too, is that people have to be actually be humble and be in that meditative state for this to occur. But if you have emotions, you can affect change through emotions, but it's the opposite then. A large amount of people emotionally, you know, saying the war is bad or the crime was bad in Washington, D.C., the opposite way, using emotions, you know, protests, things like that. So which one actually uses less energy? Ha! That would be the meditative state, right?
Projecting love. Just being love. It's not even about projecting love. It reminds me, there's a little mini series of Projecting Miracle that I did, and I lost all my social media, and so I'm having to redo everything in the last couple months. Thank God I've got some of these videos because I really like them, and one of them is a little mini series on Projecting Miracle, and it speaks to along these same lines that you're attending to, of, you know, being in that space where you just are love. The intent to do something with it doesn't even need to be present. It's just tapping into that vibration of love. That's it. And then it just goes out. You know, it just goes out because we are love. You're in that transcendental meditative state, that higher frequency.
Yep.
Nice.
So I just find now people are emotionally wound up with things, and I don't think that's going to solve a lot of things now. I think people are going to be realizing that this is the reality of truth that actually is going on, and we're going to get ourselves out of things is to be with, you know, like-minded people and do the meditations or something like that, or practice that will get us spiritually through the events that are coming up for this humanity right now. Yeah.
I see that too. It reminds me, Mother Teresa was asked to march in this back in the 60s, march against the war, and she said, "When you have a march for peace, I'll show up."
That's right.
That's exactly it in a nutshell. It's like arguing just makes more arguing. Fighting just makes more fighting. There's a way to have an engaged conversation when things are not comfortable for both sides. But, man, it takes a really focused and well-intended individual to do that. But I think there's a far cry between arguing and fighting and protesting and at the same time having really intense, uncomfortable conversations.
Yes, that is. That is correct. You're right. I'm spot on.
Fair fighting rule. Yeah.
you're right, spot on with what you're saying. Yeah. You know, when you have like-minded conversations with people, you ever notice that there's no there's no fighting going on? There's just, like, conversation. And we kind of expect the others.
Interested.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's, more curiosity and less critic. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, works really well, I find.
Yeah,
you spend hours at it. Spend hours of doing it. And you get a lot of things. You can get quite a number. You can have really grateful conversations with people like that. And and makes for human experience even more better, I think, for anybody.
Agreed. It always feels like parts of my brain light up that I didn't notice, you know. Like, it feels like I'm accessing more of my brain when there's a conversation like what you're describing.
Yeah.
Lights up more stuff.
So, yeah. So there's
all right,
a great conversation.
Well, it was joyful speaking with you, and we'll talk again.
Yeah, grateful for the topics again, and we'll catch you soon. Take care.
Yes, okay. Yep. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.
One more caller. Oh, my gosh, we have had the most amazing conversations. Thank you to everyone who's called in. I just realized we have 5 minutes left, so 805 area code. What is on your mind while you're listening to all of this?
Hi. I just got the end of it all, and I was wondering, you know, it's been 12 years since I've been in a relationship, and I sure would like to be in one. And I tried online dating, and there were too many phonies, and you know, I'm 69, so I'm sure there must be some men that, you know, have lost their wives or something, right?
Right. People start to die off. And are you starting to think the only way you're gonna be in a relationship is with a widower?
Yeah, I'm thinking. I mean, I've never been married, but I'm in a 12-year relationship. Yeah.
Yeah, I really want to push you. I'm gonna challenge you. Are you ready?
Sure.
I want to challenge you. Are you ready?
Sure, I'm ready.
Okay. I heard you say, there's nothing but a bunch of phonies out there. Now, you're attracted to them, and they're attracted to you. So it's a two-way street. So I want you to see two things. I want you to see your side, that you are attracted to the phonies, and question yourself. What do I get out of that? So part of what we talked about earlier in tonight's story, and I exposed myself to a long, dark, hard trauma story that I'm still playing out, and I shared part of that. And if we want our lives to be different, we've got to be willing to look at the things that are very uncomfortable that we're doing. So there's two things that I see for you that could be helpful. Number one, I want you to really question yourself, why do I keep picking out phonies somehow?
No,
right
they
here.
Pick me. I don't pick them. They pick me. I don't pick them. They pick
well,
me.
That's where I want to push you, is your participation. I want you to notice and take responsibility for the fact that you're attracted to them as well.
Yeah.
And that on some emotional level.
When I find out, Tony, you know, like once I talk to them, they sound like they're from Nigeria and it's supposed to be a Caucasian man. And, you know, I just won't go there. I just cut
well,
them off right
of
away.
Of course, of course. Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's just sorting through. When you're dating, especially when you're dating online, you just got to sort through it, of course.
Yeah.
You call it state of state. But if you want a legitimate relationship, we got 90 seconds, honey, so I'm going to give it to you straight. Number one, you got to take a look at the fact that you're attracted to, and on some level it's keeping you emotionally safe. The other part of that, real quick, is I want you to look inside yourself to see how you are being phony for the same reason. There's a reason why you're having this stuck spot. And on some unconscious level, on an unconscious level, my dear, you're keeping yourself safe because you can't ever date a good guy if you stick with the phony. So I want you to really take a look at that and see if you can get something that's uncomfortably honest for you. Have a great night, everybody. I love you. We'll see you again on Friday morning. Now, remember, Friday morning, we're going to do a guided Rings of Light in then. And otherwise, I'll see you next Monday and Wednesday. Otherwise, grab a whole bunch of my stuff on my website, Renee Beasy with 6 E's, or healingonwheels.com, or blissoffwithrenee.com. Bye for now. Thank you.